Yes, good. Today there will be a vad in between on Chanukah. So we'll see today a little bit, try to see today what is the challenge of Chanukah. There's a challenge going on. We can't only say, okay, we were conquering or we're succeeding in the Nechama against Yovan, Bo Hashem, fine. No, that needs work. I want today to explore one thing in that. But first, let's try to think together, what is Chanukah? Is the essence of Chanukah? So, we have one Yontif, which is a Yontif of Nes Golui. That's Pesach. That's the Reise. That's the Yontif, the Reise, which there, the Anhoga Nisis, the Nes Golui, Yud Kevovke, the way which is Mitzrayim works, there the Nes Golui was his Gale. And now, we have two Yom Tovim. The Rabbonons in the winter, which both also are Nisim. The one is Purim, and the other one is Pesach, is Chanukah. So, those two, like always the Rabbonon, are explaining to the Reise. The Reise says, the world has to move. Because of what? Because of Matan Torah, because of Klal Yisrael, because of Chil Hashem, because of Hashuah of Avraham Avinu, because of what? But the world has to move. That's what we see in Pesach. But the two Yomim Tovim, that means Chanukah and Purim, they are explaining what was really wanted in that Reise. That always the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon always explain to the Reise. So the explanation of Pesach, that's Chanukah and Purim. So Purim, it's very obvious, it's Klal Yisrael. There, the Jewish nation, or the Klal Yisrael, was under a threat, and the world had to move in order to keep this existence of Klal Yisrael. That's Purim. Chanukah is something else. Chanukah is that the world is not able to exist without an actual presence of something above. That's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is that there was something above. The Rokeach says, for example, the 36 Neiras we have, these 36 Neiras, they are parallel to the 36 hours Odom Rishon had the light which was created in the Maaseh Bereishis. Odom Rishon had a Noah. He was 12 hours on Friday and 24 hours on Shabbos, and then his light went away. That's the Rokeach. But that this light is something we don't have anymore in the world. But the Chanukah is revealing something which is above this world. But it sounds like that in order to do that, the world has to move away. Yeah? Because that is the essence, what is Klal Yisrael and Yetzias Mitzrayim and Torah, what is it about? It is about these two things. One is Klal Yisrael, and the other one is this revelation of this aboveness. You can also see from the Bach, the well-known Bach, he said there were moiser nefesh alo avoide. Mesiras nefesh always means that you give up your world because there's something more than your world there. That's mesiras nefesh. So this is Chanukah. Yeah? Mesiras nefesh, or whatever it is, this aboveness which is niskale. Okay, that's Chanukah. Now, in order to reveal that, so now the Baron wanted to reveal that, we have to understand that according to this, it was not that we were caught in an uncomfortable matzav by the Yevonim, and in order to take us out, he made miracles. It was not like this. It was a vehicle to reveal what the Borei Olam wants. It's always like this. That means the right place to reveal that aboveness is Yovan. Because Yovan, the whole world of Yovan was that there is for sure Chochmah going on, but there's nothing above. It is what it is. Yeah? So there are two things in Chochmah Yevonis which are basic to them, and you will see that Klal Yisrael is just the flip side of the Chochmah Yevonis. The two things in Chochmah Yevonis is one, which everyone says that they want to build a world. To building the world, that's a deep thing, that you want to understand the world. But that's not the intellectual pursuit. That's not. All the Rishonim say that, or the Rishonim, let's say, the Rishonim say that, and the Alter von Köln says it, the Ramchal says it, that the rots or the urge to understand the world is not the intellectual pursuit or some being curious about how the world is built. That's what they tell you, that this is what it is. No, it is in order that you should rule the world, that you should be able to conquer that world. Yeah, you want to build the world, you want to conquer that, you want to conquer medicine, you know, to help people, it's a good thing. You want to conquer all these things, that is building a world. Now, this is the world, which the Chochmei Avonis has. But there's another part to Chochmei Avonis. Rashi says it in Bava Kama, Daf Pei Gimel, says Chochmei Avonis, Bnei Paltin HaKroevim Malchus Mesaprim Bo. That means, when you are close to the ruler, to the Melech, then you are speaking Chochmei Avonis. So then you don't speak higher physics, and you don't speak biology, and believe me, you don't speak epidemiology, you don't speak all these things, you know, you don't speak science next to the Melech, that you don't do. You speak politics. That means you speak how to influence people. And that is the second part of Chochmei Avonis. Chochmei Avonis is how to influence people. Whenever you know how the books they wrote, the Platon wrote a book, Der Staat, it means the Republic, I think that you say it in English, Republica, that was how to guide a Medina. Aristo very much wanted to guide a Medina too, and Alexandros Mukton, which was the one which brought out Chochmei Avonis into the world, he was a Talmud of Aristo. That means there was a thing that you want to deal with politics, or, which is the same thing, or with literature. Literature also has this ingredient that literature is a very, very big influence on people. You as Americans know that the freedom of the slaves, which was, let's say, a big move in the development of humankind, when you want like this, that was a big new move, that was very much influenced by a book written in America, yeah? Very much. So a book can influence people to a tremendous amount, and politics means influencing people. So over here you see, Chochmei Avonis wants to build a world and to influence people, and we in Torah, with that aboveness, we want to build a man and to influence the world. That's what we want. It's the flip side. We flip it over. By the world, we don't want to build it. By us, the building of the world in a personal sense, that's my own body. So the Greeks said, you have a healthy body. In that healthy body, there is a good, a healthy spirit. Yeah? I think mens sana in corpore sanum, I don't know how to say it in English, but that's the slogan of the Greek approach to a human being. You have to have a healthy spirit in a healthy body. That a healthy body is something by itself. You build that. Yeah, I can't say body building because that means something else over here in America, but that's the same thing. You build that body. Yeah, you build them. And then in a built existence, you put in some spiritual thing too, for sure. There is a spiritual thing there. But the body is not considered something which points towards the neshama. That's not like this. That's not that. The body is pointing towards his own health. Yeah? It's like a thing which is like independent when you want like this. By us it's not like this. No. By us a healthy body is a body which is able to serve the neshama, which points towards pneumius, which is pointing towards something. The world too. By us, the world is always pointing towards something. I was in America, in some town, and this is a very big thing that you understand how we look at Kashmir. That's a very important thing for you. I was in a town, and it was in a home where I lost my way. It was a private home. It wasn't some Misrada Mishpatim or something like this. It was a private home, and I have a good sense of direction, but I was standing there, and for a moment I lost my way. I didn't know, do you go straight or you go right or you left, you have to move, put these signs exit, you know, something like this, because you can't know where you are going. So I was this boy, and do I want to live in such a house? For example, someone asked me whether he should buy a house with a small family, but he would buy a house, yeah, good, a big house, a fine house, 700 square meters. That is, you can make a football player indoor, you know. The walls around 700 square meters, that's crazy, you know. It's crazy, insane, you know. It's simply insane. So what is bad with that? It's a good thing, you know, it's a big house. You know. I thought, why don't I want that? I don't want such a thing. When you will give me a present, I will not go there. Why not? Because I can't fill that thing up. I can't live there, and every single thing is pointing towards my own need. No, that will be something which has its own reality. You understand that? Has its own. I can't fill that up. I'm not big enough. There's not enough Leuchter available that I should fill up 13 rooms. It's kind of strong. I can't. I will only use 2 rooms. Or 3, and that's it. I can't use more, you know. And when I have children, then I use another 3. So 6, 7, gesundheit. But I can't have 20 rooms, and I can't fill it out with the human reality. And that means that the building of the world is, I don't want to build the world. When you look at these old places in England or in France where they built enormous places, I think in America you have that too, you know, enormous places, and you can't understand how did they live in such a place. Why do you have to have in an English home, you sit down by a table which is long 30 meters, you know, that means space with your feet, you know, on a sheer, you know, on a sheer, long, long, and you sit there alone. What is that Hanoi? Mata Meshuga? No, that's it. You build an unbelievable world. But the world is not built in order to point towards you. It points towards itself. It's the yellow room, and the pink room, and the blue room, and this one, and that one. That's what means you build the world. We don't want that. By us, the world wants to point towards Ruchnis. It's my own body, and it is also my belongings. They have to point towards something. But we want to build a human being. That's what we want to build. We don't want to influence a human being. We want to build it. That's why we don't have literature. We spoke once about that. We don't have literature. There's a very poor literature, you know, when you have written the Midrashim, to the Midrashim, 2 lines, 3 lines, and that's it. And then you have to make it up. And then you have to understand like this. And then you have to make out the whole story of these 3 lines. Yeah? But you don't, why Chazal don't tell you the story from the beginning with a good opening and a very interesting and captivating story about Yosef and his brothers? Why not? They did it. Someone did it. Thomas Mann did that. He wrote a whole 2 big volumes. Yosef and his brothers, I didn't read them, but it was also, it's based partly, a good part on Midrashim, yeah? He was not a Jew, but that's what he did. And he wrote an interesting book, fascinating, with all these apocryphals and or whatever it is, yeah? But I didn't read it. But you make a 2 volume, you know? I said, no, it's a dumb Medrash, don't let the Rashi don't, the Ramban, the Abyssalos. Why? Because you have to make the story. Because Torah wants to build you. Torah doesn't want to influence you. When Torah would want to influence you, then Torah would tell the story. But Torah wants to build you, then you have to make the story. And then it builds you. Yeah? So that is the difference between Chochmah Yemonis and Chochmah Zatiris. It's a flip side. What they want to influence, we want to build. And what they want to build, we want to influence. Yeah? Want to give a kivun. So that is the 2 sides of Chochmah Yevonis, Chochmah Zatira, and Chochmah Zatira, this whole building and influencing the world, is because there is something above entering the picture. Yeah? Something above. So that here, because we are working together, I want to be misspoiling on one thing that we shouldn't think, yo, we have the Shaykhs to the Bavners, and we are fine, and Bo Hashem, and we Bo Hashem. So I want to show you that this is not so simple. It's not so simple that we are working with something which is above. Yeah? So, first I want to explain that to you, to perhaps over here I say it in a nicer way, by the Israelis I said it in a way which they afterwards they jumped at me. So I will be a little bit more kind over here, but it's the same thing. It's a thing which will make you potentially very nervous on me. Yeah? Could be. But you have to understand that I really mean what I say, yeah? I really mean it. So it's like this. First at all, let's make this illustration in order that you should be able to we should be on common ground over here. You understand yourself that when you speak to a person which he understands you, and you speak and everything you tell him, of course, he understands it. It's like something which is expected. You would feel very uncomfortable. That's right? Perhaps you had once an encounter with a person which he very much was such an intelligent man, and everything you told him was from the other side in a visible way expected. Yeah, so that's very uncomfortable. Why? Because you feel he doesn't listen to you. Yeah? Because the point someone listens to another person is that I am opening myself that I can be surprised. And this element that I open myself up, that I could be surprised, from a thing, that's a basic opening to something which is above me. Surprise comes from something which I didn't expect. It's above me. So that what has to be opened by a person when he wants to build himself in a shaykhus to that aboveness, that he is able to be surprised. And this is a tricky point by us, because for example, this is not only Ben Olam HaChaveira. So Ben Olam HaChaveira, you think that's good midas Ben Olam HaChaveira. It's also in Torah. Torah, when you want to listen to Torah, you have to be able to be surprised. That means that's different than you thought. And I just went over that now. I have a certain mahalach in the halal. So whether it's a good mahalach or a bad mahalach, I have it already years. I think it's simply that the point is that the halal should speak to me. I am open to the halal, and the halal is something which is way above me. David HaMelech is way above me, but it should speak to me. It should tell me something. So I tried to do that, and there was a point which I found out that the halal goes around that point, and then every single year or every single Rosh Chodesh where I say the halal, then that I am surprised. That is also included. That's also included. So I said a shir about halal in a kollel, which they were Yungalite, yeshivishi Yungalite, and partly I think they had Hanoah from that, but there was one younger man which he learns in a certain base medrash, which I think I know the base medrash, and there, afterwards he comes to me, and then he has to sell his halal too, you know? I sold my halal, but now he has to sell his halal. So he's beginning to sell his halal to me. So he has a slightly different mahalach, and then he says there are three yesoides, and then he said the three yesoides, and then I heard, those are the yesoides of that base medrash. I know that. Yeah? I got three yesoides, and then he took these three yesoides, I don't have my hat over here, you know? He took these three yesoides, like I have a hat, and then he was wearing that hat on the halal, even though it wasn't fitting, you know? But he went, and then he didn't really think, like, and then that was good, you know? Halal didn't speak to him. Halal was simply a place to apply his ideas. He wasn't open to something which is above. He took the text and he just twisted the arm and the leg and everything from the text in order to fit in something which he knows already. That's called learning Torah, not al derech nitzochem leyoba. That's called learning Torah al derech, that it's only there what you put in lekatchile. No, there's something else there. Not because you don't know. Be very careful. It's not because you don't know it. Of course, when I learn all this, there are new things inside because I don't know the information. But that's not the point. I say halal every Rosh Chodesh, and halal sholem I say several times a year. Yeah, depends on chutzlah a little bit more, else a little bit less. But you say several times a year, say halal sholem. You know. So I know Halal Sholem. It's not that the text surprises me and I just don't know how it goes further on and it's just a word which I didn't see. No, I see these words and I know them. And especially 8 days, you know, I know these words very well. Yeah? But it surprises me. There's something in there which I let myself being influenced from that. That mean, or influenced, or being hit from that, you know? That is something above which comes to me. We don't do that. We have no clue how to do it. And there is a major educational problem. This is one of the major educational problems we have. The point is like this. For sure, whenever you have, whenever you have someone which knows nothing, then it's very easy to be surprised. But this I don't want. That's not interesting. Because someone is not, doesn't know anything, and then you come in and you are surprised. That's not what we look for. And then, that means, you have to have knowledge in your pocket beforehand. You have to have something to deal with. But when you have too much to deal with, then you don't listen anymore. You only apply your knowledge. In Torah too. I know people, which you speak to them, and everything you speak to them, they categorize immediately with their full pockets, you know. They have in their pocket all different pockets, all different categorizations, and then you say a shtikel Torah, No, that's not Torah. You are surprised. When you can't be surprised, you don't listen. You don't listen that there is something way bigger, way above, which you dreamt. You don't do that. No? And this is a tricky point. So what shall I do? What do you do normally? When you are, for example, I want to be inspired. You saw that inspired, nice word, I know what that means exactly. You want to be inspired by the Ner Chanukah, then you have to learn Bnei Soscho or Paraditscho, depends whether you're Hasidic or Litvish, never mind. Then you learn at Bnei Soscho or the Paraditscho. Yeah, you learn that. But this you could learn also in Tammuz. You could learn that too. So why do you learn it now? Because I have to know it, and then when I say it, when I do it, I have to think about what I learned, and now what? Now I don't listen, it doesn't come back to me, nothing comes back to me. It's simply an application from my knowledge, you know. It's like when you say, I want to listen to the thing. What do? You make like this. Ha! Unbelievable. Huh? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That really speaks to me. Yeah, it's only you screamed it to the world, and then it comes back the same thing, you know, for sure. No, it has to come back something else. Something more pneumistic. Something above. How do you do that? Without knowledge, you can't do it. When you don't know anything, you can't do it. When you know too much, I don't know whether you experience these people, you know. They quote al yamin va al smol, you know. Whatever you tell them, they can make the true shell immediate. It is for me something which is simply non-pleasant to speak with them in Torah. It's nicht geschmack, you know. Simply unpleasant. Because they don't listen to you. They categorize you immediately. Perhaps I say something which you didn't hear. No, it's no. Close. Talit hochem. A greater mensch, versteht das Sach, das Sach Jedias. Er hat euren, also wie, he has like, weißt du was, vermacht, huh? No aboveness there. So that is what we aim for. Now you understand, for example, that for this aboveness, this is the point that you need a certain Kedusha, yeah? You need a certain Kedusha. Kedusha is something, for Taiva, makes you that you only see what you expect. That's what Taiva makes. That's what Taiva says so nice. Veloishosuru achrelevapre. Losur means like a spy. A spy is spying for something which he looks for. Yeah? A spy is not spying for something. You know, don't go to spy into Russia whether they have weapons, and then you'll find that they grow apple trees a lot. So that's nicht interessant. You are looking for weapons. That's what you spy for, you know. When you are spying with your eyes about your taiva, then you just expect that there should be a tithing. You don't know where it is, you know. And then you look around, and then, oh! Ah! And that is lo yisa suur achrei levavche, vachrei neichem. Yeah? Yeah? Haleif chöymet v'ayin roye, yeah? That means you are expecting something, and what comes in is exactly what you expect, yeah? That's what the taiva does. So in order that you should be able to be open to something more, you have to work on that. That doesn't go with that. Yeah? But this is this above world which comes in. And this is not easy, Rabbi Yisai. That's not the easy work. Because without any shaykhah, for example, when the world wants to speak to me, I want the world to speak to me in my food. That's easy. Why? Because I have something to work with. Food is tasty, and food gives a tzuna, so I can now connect this tastiness and this being satisfied. So that I can connect to the Borei Olam, and I see the chesed of the Borei Olam, and now my food speaks to me that there is hashkocha. I could work on that. When I don't have anything to work with, then it's more tricky, you know? For example, by Pekeach Ivrim. Pekeach Ivrim is a brocha which you have less chomer gelem to work with, less raw material, yeah? Because you don't really feel anything you see. And then you say, how do you say Pekeach Ivrim? Oh, you come to the hospital and you see the people which Chas V'Shalom Nebuch, they are about or they lost their eyesight, and then you are really saying a good Pekeach Ivrim. That's a morbid thought. I don't want to think about morbid things every morning, you know. I don't want to get up like this. I want to say Pekeach Ivrim, Geschmack zu kuchen, you know. It's a schwer, because there is not enough raw material there. And by Ner Chanukah, there is nearly zero raw material without knowledge. That's right? What do? You light a candle. And now you see the candles and you see the oragonus. I see a candle, you know? And when you light the candle, you can ask your son, which is halfway through pyromanic, you know, when you light the candle, it will burn. And he will have a very big pleasure out of that. Yeah? That's what it is. So it burns. Huh? Light a candle. Now, you see the oragonus. That's only because you learned it. Because you put it in. But it has to speak to you. Otherwise, it's not above. When it's only what you learned, nothing more comes in. Nothing more comes in. We lost the Holy Yontif. We lost that thing. Yeah? So this is a tricky thing, you see. It's a very tricky thing. So, Chochmei Yevonis, when we want to conquer or we want to fight that Chochmei Yevonis, this needs work, Rabbi Yisai. That's not that we can lay back and say, fine, we are fine, we were succeeding in that Milchome, and Baruch Hashem, we are only Chochmei Satreire. Yeah? No, it doesn't go like this. You can't do that. Because Chochmas HaTorah is something which you have to open your ears to a message which surprises you. Yeah? Okay? And that is another world. So this is the difference between the Spitz of Chochmas Yevonis, and that will make you very brilliant. But the Spitz of Chochmas Yevonis, we have a difference with that. Because we are listening and we see there is a world there which even is way above. And then the reality, once in a while, even the reality is not so the Indian, you know. When you saw big people, once you saw that by them, the reality, ahin, reality ahir, history, exact history or not, that wasn't the issue. Because they were living in another world. Yeah? I will tell you a story, but first I'll tell the story how the Greek did it. The Greek did the same thing. Yeah? There was a well-known paradox of Zenon, which Achilles has to run after the turtle, you know, and he gives, as a good gentleman, and he's a very quick man, he gives 100 yards by you, he gives 100 yards in advance, and then he runs after the turtle. But when he reaches the 100 yards, the turtle is 10 yards ahead. That's a lot, but the turtle is 10 yards ahead, and then he runs the 10 yards, the turtle is 1 yard ahead. And then he reaches the 1, and then he's a 10th yard ahead, and it's always ahead. And every single distance, Achilles is covering, the other one is already in advance. So he will never pass the turtle. But in reality, he passes the turtle. What's going on? What's the maskone? So the maskone of Zenon was that the world is only a demon. Because in reality, Achilles never passes the turtle. Ganz good, yeah? Ganz good. So, now that's nonsense, but it's ganz gut. I like that. I like that because he was very much relying on his intellect. That's it. There was nothing above there. He didn't listen to an above world. He listened of his cold intellect, and he simply wasn't able to deduce that 0.111111 means 1/9. That's it. That's what he did. After 111 and a ninth yard, Achilles will pass. Only he broke that down in 0.111111. That's what was it gemacht. Yeah. So that's what he did. So, but it was an intellectual thing, and his intellect was Koivea. Basi is a similar thing, but not like Zeno. That is exactly, that is the spitz of the Stiere, yeah? The spitz. Because by then, the intellect was there, and that's it. It was the intellect. And then even the reality didn't curl it so much, because the intellect was there. But as it's a listening to something more, it's not the intellect. I give you the dogma, and now you're being grotbreakers on me. There are a lot of dogmas like that. Only the dogma was like this, I heard it. You know, the dogma was that they showed to Rebel Soloveitchik, the son of the Brisker Rav, they showed a letter of the Brisker Rav, which he wrote to Rav Kook, with all the biggest toarim, you know. The biggest. And they showed it to him, and the Rebel said, my father never wrote such a letter. So they asked him, is that a zio. Is that a zio? So he said, no, it's no zio. But my father never wrote such a letter. No, for sure it's not a zio. But he never wrote such a letter. That's it, huh? Yeah? And this you can't swallow. This you say, intellectual honesty. Reality. No. He is right, you know. Yeah, for sure he never wrote such a letter. Yeah? A similar thing. Now, that the son of the Chabatska of Rav Shneur Zalman, he did things which I better don't mention over here. Yeah, he had one son which was he did very not good things. Very much, for sure. But by the Chabatskas, by Chabad, they say no. Well, it's not true. So I tell you how you'll have to look at that. Yeah? It's a little bit different, but the same thing, same sort. The Balatanya had never a son which made all these things, never. There was some private man, which was called Shneur Zalman. He had a son which did terrible things. But Mikre, these two people were in the same body. Grade. Saying Grade when he's at the plus. Yeah. One of them was the Balatanya, he never had a son which made troubles. And the other one was Shneur Zalman, he had a son which made troubles. And they were dwelling in the same body. Yeah, they were said in the same. But no, for sure, he never had a son like this. But the other one for sure had a son like this, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that is this other world, which is Lav Dafke, always a world which is Muhashi. Yeah, that is an extreme. This you are, now you hate me. I know that you come to me and you say, Ma Nachon, you hate me for sure. Yeah? So you come to you and say, Ma Shayah, no Chayah, okay, I'm ready for that. That's not too long, it's Hanukkah today, you know, I have to go home. But this is, Torah is above. It is above. But it is a world of aboveness which you have to let you surprise. You have to say, there are things in there which I didn't expect beforehand. And by us this is gone. Nearly. When you today learn, who from you is surprised from Cheskas moment? Or from giving a halvoa? I remember when we learned Halvoa, so that was really learning Torah. Because our Rosh Kehil, Gershon, came, Halvoa means that I pay you today on the pleasure that you will give me money tomorrow. I give you a payment today that you'll give me money tomorrow, you know? Sounds like crazy. Yeah? Not Chayah. It's normal, huh? But when you learn Choshen Mishpot and you learn it very carefully, someone in the Kehil said, he is crazy, he's insane, you know. And then you learn Choshen Mishpot, and in the end he came to me, you know what, Take, a lot of places Choshen Mishpot looks like that, but he's still crazy. Yeah, for sure he's crazy. For sure. But Torah is a little bit different than you think. You would never think like this. You know, by us it's all known, and when you speak about Cheskes Vomen, it's all the alte Sachen. You know, you have all these Sforim, which have all the Rosh Hashiva, the raid and everything, and you know all this raid, and the most you can do, you simply vomit your knowledge into the Gemara, and then comes back the same thing. Unbelievable. I understood something Gemara, you know. I just put it in and take it out. Same thing. And that's no. When the Gemara doesn't surprise you, you did not begin to touch that. Yeah? I have by me, I have my girl, I have a younger man, who's only 19 and a half, not 20 yet, a Breslover. He learned 3 years in Ateres Soil by Rav Yabor Molche. Only 3 years. He married. He is the best. He has a head like a real good head. But you can't surprise him. He's not this distorted yeshivishe knowledge all over. You can't say him a chazal and say, whoa, never heard, you know. That's good. You can work with him. Today I go to a book, I tell him a chazal. Says, das hab ich gehört doch vom Rebben in Kita Hei. And then nothing, you know. Always already known, already there, no surprises, nothing comes out, you know. That's not Torah. Torah is above us, and that needs chinuch. So, how to be mechanech in that, I don't know. That's only an intermediate word, you know. How to be mechanech on that nekude, that you give the knowledge in order he should be able to listen, but he should stay open, that he's able to be surprised. And you have to give enough knowledge that he's able to see that. That's the whole work. Yeah? So that what is, I think, is a central part of our education in Torah. In order to reach that nitzochen on Yovel. That's what I wanted to think together today. It's a little bit longer than normally. And next time we'll go further in this achrayus business. But I think that's an interesting word. It's the first time you were surprised about Yovel. That's right. So that was a surprise for me too. But otherwise I can't see how you can approach this nitzochen on Yovel. Atka.